Previously on Talking Trash.
I glanced at the 80s in Roger Corman's Career of the 80s. I grabbed a couple of titles that just stuck out to me. I don't know what these movies are. We can talk about what are these movies. What do we think these movies are? I just want to ask you, because you said Streetwalking jumped out at you. You saw a hooker and you saw Streetwalking and that jumped out to you. Now, here's what jumped out to me, because that's how we pick these movies. These are the ones that picked out and jumped out to me. Let's talk about them.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And today we are doing something special. Something I love. Talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe that you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And today, this week, well, for the whole month, we've been doing movies that Joe guessed on the show what they were about when we named them all off. And this is the last of the petty cash.
Oh, this has to be the worst synopsis ever, because I did not anticipate this movie being what it was.
Yeah. This week, we are doing a movie that pissed off the motorcycle club, the Hell's Angels, so badly that they did the only thing they know how to do.
What's
bring
that?
Roger Corman to court.
No. Okay, I did ask you about this.
Yeah.
This movie is called Nam Angels.
Yeah.
And I did ask you if they were allowed to use their name.
Notorious Hell's Angels member and spokesman George Christie said, "There is absolutely no way our board or membership would have approved the portrayal of the Hell's Angels in this movie. In fact, the portrayal of our members as disloyal to each other is totally contrary to the most important values of the organization, loyalty and trust." And it settled out of court.
I figured they were probably pissed off.
In fact, I think when we saw Roger Corman in person talking to Joe Bob Briggs in Las Vegas, I believe he did mention this incident.
Made so much money that the Angels, who I had paid a fairly small amount of money, sued me for $1 million. And I remember seeing it at the television newscaster started laughing as he was, because he was clearly reading from the prompter. They sued me for $1 million for defamation of character on the basis that I had portrayed them as an outlaw motorcycle gang, whereas in reality, they were a social organization dedicated to the spreading of technical information about motorcycles. So they sued me, and then they announced that they were going to kill me. And a big Otto Friedli, the leader of the Hell's Angels, called me, and I still remember the conversation almost exactly. He started off by saying, "Hey man, we're going to snuff you out." And I said, "Otto, think about this. You're suing me for $1 million, but at the same time, if you've announced you're going to snuff me out, if I slip in the bathtub, the police are going to come after you. Plus, how do you expect to get the $1 million if you kill me? My advice to you is forget the momentary pleasure of snuffing me out and go for the $1 billion. And he said, "Yeah, man, that's what we'll do. We're going to go for the $1 million.
And I didn't know, because we hadn't seen the movie at that point.
Yeah, we hadn't seen it.
So I didn't really understand what he was saying at the time.
Yeah. So the movie we are talking about today is 1989's Nam Angels. I wanted to say Nam.
Okay, well, it's however you want to say it. It's Vietnam or Vietnam.
Nam Angels, directed by one of Quentin Tarantino's influences and Bad Movie Night All-Star, Sergio H. Santiago, who directed movies like TNT Jackson, The Mothers, and Wheels of Fire. It was also written by Dan Gagliso. It has a 4.9 on IMDb from only 355 reviewers, none of which are the Hell's Angels.
Wow. Well, they must have seen this because they brought Roger Corman to court over it.
I know. I was kidding. Actually, they had said in more of that comment that I didn't take down here, they said they wanted the movie completely pulled and scrapped.
Wow.
They didn't want, and they wanted damages, but they also wanted the movie completely removed. But they settled at a court, and the movie was allowed to come out. So that's a little weird.
Huh.
Here's a funny ass quote I found here. According to David Rensek, he did a biography of this director. He said that Santiago met Steven Spielberg in his mom's L.A. restaurant, The Milky Way, expecting Spielberg wanting to collaborate with him on a project. To Santiago's astonishment, Spielberg merely inquired whether Nam Angels had really only cost $400,000.
Wait, so, wait, Hollywood director and icon Steven Spielberg met with this director of this movie to ask him, did this movie only cost $400,000?
And he also wanted to hire the lead actor of this movie to put him in his movie, which he did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, please tell me where I know this guy. This is
Brad Johnson.
Sergeant Calhoun.
Yeah, the actor is Brad Johnson. He is in the movie Always, directed by Steven Spielberg. Yeah, it's weird. He is in not much else. In fact, this entire cast almost all died young.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pretty hunky guy. I mean, I didn't mind looking at him.
All right. So let's run down the cast, because we have the cast of this movie is funny, right?
Okay.
So the plot, which we normally break down, spoil, like I said already, is very simple. This guy, Brad Johnson, who plays Calhoun, our cowboy lieutenant, is in Vietnam, and for some reason, they're investigating or going after these, I guess, the Viet Cong. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they end up in a cave where they're completely surrounded, where the whole Viet Cong is killed off by arrows, who we see are some kind of natives.
I mean, they're just some kind of natives.
Well, they're the Viet Cong is too, so it's kind of weird. But they're some kind of like tribe who kills off all the bad guys. Now, why they kill off the bad guys only and not the heroes is because movie. And what happens is these characters all end up in a cave. And in the cave, there is these vials. Now, we were very confused as what was happening here, because there's like these vials that seem to have powder in them. So I assumed that there was some kind of heroin operation going on here.
Which I thought was weird anyway, because it's a cave and they're just
skulls
native
everywhere.
People. I mean, they're just like a tribe of like native people wearing like loincloths and stuff.
Oh, well, let's talk about their outfits, because the men are wearing loincloths and polo shirts and button downs, and the women are naked.
So the women have a tiny little loincloth too, but their bits are jiggling.
Yeah,
so they're
bits
out.
Are jiggling.
But like I made mention of this to you because I was in shock. The top half of the outfits of these natives are literally like J. Crew with the sleeves ripped off, and kind of like, you know, someone took a razor to them to make them look like haggard and like they've been all like messed up.
Yeah.
But where do they get these clothes?
Yeah, all I kept thinking was, do they kill people and remove their clothes and keep them? Maybe?
But they have no pants, cloths though. On. Yeah, I no don't pants. Okay. It doesn't matter.
No shoes, no pants.
No.
Only tops. They only take tops. I also love that they all have haircuts. They all have short hair. I notice that a lot in these kind of movies where I always go, who's cutting all these guys' hair short?
I mean,
do they have a supercut? I feel
like, yeah, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, their hair was very well styled.
Yes. But let's get to the most important part here. The vials of some kind of powder that people keep tasting. So now we were like confused because soon we find out that this is gold. Is it gold powder filled in gold vials? Is it vials filled with something else?
Okay, well,
is it paprika? Are they all tasting paprika and going, wow, this is a really nice spice shaker.
Spice melange.
Yeah, those spice melange.
But honestly, I didn't understand when you kept saying that. So there's what I thought was they were going to pop it open and there's going to be like a hidden scroll inside or something like to
but
find.
But they don't. They keep going, wow, look at all this.
But this is not a movie about a treasure hunt. So I'm like, okay.
It has a subplot of getting gold.
There's nothing gold here. It looks like coke. It looks like
we don't cocaine. Know. It's a brownish, yellowish powder. It could be saffron. It could be cumin. And they're in vials.
You know, all you're talking about is spices, and like you're hungry. I just fed you.
That's true. But no, all I kept thinking was the vials are gold, and the powder inside might be gold powder. I don't know. We have no clue, and the movie does not help us any bit.
Not
here.
At all.
Well, what happens is they say, "Oh my God, there's so much of it. There must be $10 million worth of gold here," and we're like, "Where? What?"
Jesus Christ. LT, look at this. There must be at least 10 million back there.
Like they said 10 million. Actually, he doesn't even say $10 million of gold. He says there must be $10 million worth here. And we want $10 million worth of either cocaine, heroin, or some kind of drug?
Right.
Not really sure. But it doesn't matter because the group here, the squadron or whatever the hell we're going to call them, the soldiers, they leave after everybody's murdered in front of them with arrows. They think, oh, I guess we can wander out. And of course they have a tour guide. You know, it's not a tour guide, but one of the locals that has sided with the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And he of course says, we're not supposed to be here. This is an off limits area. But he says, I have a lucky rabbit's foot I can wave into the air, and maybe we can all get out of here. But they're surrounded instantly. Now, all of the bad guy, well, the local Vietnamese bat, you know, like the soldiers, they were all killed off by these people. But they leave these guys alive.
They leave the Americans alive.
Until they fight back, because we think, you're kind of thinking, oh, they're going to side with them. And they're like, oh, we're on your side. We don't want the war and all this stuff. You don't really know. But then our lead starts fighting them. And they kill one of them. They kill the local who is helping him. No, he actually gets away with him. But only two people get away because they take another two soldiers hostage. And we see that they have a leader who's also maybe American, maybe German. He does say some German things in this movie, so it's not really clear.
Yeah, but this guy pops out. He's like with the natives.
He's like their leader, and he's dressed like a safari dude. Yeah. And he has a rat tail. And his name, this is how you know it's bad. The villain's name in this movie is Chard. Chard. Nothing like a big old piece of chard in this movie. He comes out. Now, this is crazy. This actor we know. Vernon Wells is the actor, and he is known as the character Bennett in Commando.
Oh my God, stop it.
Yes. He's also the Lord General in Weird Science.
Wait, can we go back to Bennett? Okay, so Bennett in Commando, because I love that freaky movie. I've seen it a million times. He has black hair and a mustache.
I knew you were going to say that, yeah.
So, wow. Yeah. That's why I didn't recognize him. He looks like
blonde hair here. And no mustache.
He looks like a village person in Commando.
Yeah.
He's got like, you know, like that metal mesh thing on. Like he looks like one of the village people. Mm-hmm. But like, oh my God, I did not realize that was him.
And you heard the Weird Science one?
No. Who is he in Weird Science?
The Lord General, one of the bikers.
Wait, shut up.
Is he the one that says...
Two unpopular dicks like you is having a party.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I was just asking myself that very question. And unlike dicks, sometimes they're the weirdest things. You know, I don't know.
How would you like all your friends here to know that you wear a bra on your head? Tossed off into any good books lately, have we? You two can't even take a shower with a beautiful woman without wearing your jeans.
Is that him?
That can't be him.
That's what it says here. No. Lord General, Weird Science.
No way. Because it's not the guy from The Hills Have Eyes. We know him. That's Michael Berryman. And he's their teacher
in the movie, too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I guess it is.
Yeah. And he has like a shaved your head, so it makes sense.
No, you wear a bra on your head.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was funny. You didn't notice it the whole time. I was waiting because there was a part where he was yelling in this movie, and I kept going, oh, I see the Bennett thing.
Wow.
And I was waiting for you to point it out like, oh.
I mean,
so what happens now is our lead character, Brad Johnson, as Calhoun, he gets away with the helper, but they kidnap all of his. Now you think you don't leave any of your guys behind, but he leaves all of his guys behind and runs off.
Yeah, well, a lot of them die.
Well, there's two we see taken.
Yeah, two get taken.
You would assume why would they keep these guys alive? They're some kind of savages. Except for this one leader guy.
Yeah. He's got some kind of code.
Yeah. Well, he goes back to the army base. And he is able to escape all the way through the jungle with this other guy. And they get back to their base of operations. And he talks to the general and tells him that his guys are kidnapped. And he tells him about the Chard. And all these guys. And he says, well, we're going to drop bombs on that area. And he's like, I really want to save my guys, though. Give me this chance. And he's like, well, do you have a plan? And he's like, yeah, I got a plan. So we see a strip club bar. If the gold thing wasn't already confusing, now we're going to talk about something even more confusing. This strip club bar seems like it's back in America now. Because our lead character, Calhoun, walks in denim. Like blue denim outfit. He goes up to the bar. There's your normal. It's like, imagine the bar in Airplane where everybody's just fighting.
Yes, exactly.
It's exactly this. But here's the weird oddity here. The Hell's Angels are here. Now, the Hell's Angels are hanging out in a bar in Vietnam.
And it says on their vests, Hell's Angels, California.
Yes.
What would possess the Hell's Angels to go to Vietnam during the war?
Yeah, and here's another thing. Why would Roger Corman think this was a good idea to use a known iffy motor? I'm sorry. I shouldn't say anything. I had a run-in with some bikers once before.
Okay, we're not going to discuss that now.
We're not going to discuss it. I think everybody wants to hear it.
I don't know.
Can we tell the funny story of Scott's thinking that he was going to die one night?
I feel like we've already told this on the podcast before.
I don't think so.
I feel like we did. But
did we tell it in the episode of My Embarrassing Stories?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, anybody who doesn't know, we went to a tattoo convention And I was wearing a shirt that I was in love with that I got on Ripped Apparel. Don't know if they're still around. Yes, and it was a mashup of Doctor Who, and it was a mashup of Sons of Anarchy, where they took the Doctor Who stuff and they put it on the Sons of Anarchy. But the problem is, it looks way too similar to another biker gang's
symbol or logo.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found this out a hard way when I was called over to a biker gang's table. And I said, hey, how's everybody doing? And now, first off, I'm tiny in comparison to everybody around me. And they basically surrounded me. And I thought to myself, this is how I die. And they said, show them that shirt you have on. This one guy tells me. And I said, oh, you guys like, it's a Doctor Who. And the guy, I guess the leader of the group says, I know who Doctor Who is. And I was like, cool. All right. Yeah. And he's like, where'd you get that? And I said, oh, there's a site called Ripped Apparel. This guy was selling it on there. I just thought it was a cool mashup. And he's like, he's staring at me like, I'm going to kill you. And then the one big guy that brought me over goes, walk away.
Mind you,
slowly walked away and I said, I want to go home.
Yes. That shirt said Time Lords on it.
It did.
It was a Doctor Who shirt.
Instead of Sons of Anarchy, it was like Time Lords.
Yes, and I don't think that they took very kindly to your taps around there.
Exactly.
So we promptly left that convention.
I was scared out of my fucking mind.
I will tell you, I was in shock by the whole thing, and I didn't think they were going to do anything to hurt you, but I thought that something was brewing, and I was like, oh God, okay, I got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. So that was the last time you ever wore your Time Lords shirt.
Yeah, and I love that damn shirt. Yeah. The reason to tell that story is because I witnessed that off of a nothing. This movie used the exact logo.
Was it the exact logo?
Yes, they were very pissed off.
Well, you don't like when I look into anything, so I try not to.
Yeah, that's why the whole lawsuit happened. That's why they were angry. They honestly said they're shocked that they could not believe that they did a reproduction of it like that without authorization.
I mean, I don't understand why Corman couldn't just make up a name of some biker.
Or write the script around them.
Yeah.
You know, because it is a fun idea. But, like, if they were mad about their values, then bring it in, right?
Right.
Now, I think one of the most odd things here is, I'm assuming what's happening in this movie is that people drafted into the Vietnam War happen to be Hell's Angels? And I assume that's what was happening in the scene. But it's not, because what's really happening is they're just in Vietnam with their motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
Who airlifted and dropped them off here? Like, what is happening?
Did
the U.S. government, and is this like a scenario like Escape from New York or L.A., where they just went and took the, or No Escape with Ray Liotta, and they just took the undesirables and threw them in Vietnam?
You know, I feel like, I mean, when you're in this bar and you're seeing this, I mean, they automatically start a fight with the locals and looks like some soldiers as well. So it looks like everyone's in a fight.
Yeah.
And our main guy, our army lieutenant, his name is Calhoun. He actually recruits.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They get thrown in jail.
Yeah. After they get thrown in jail because of the fighting, he recruits them to help him with his mission of saving his two army comrades.
Yeah. He actually tells his general. Like, he's like, I have an idea of getting the Hell's Angels to help me. And he's like, the general's like, are you kidding me? They don't give a shit about anything.
No.
And he's like, I have a way to get
them. But if you give them incentives such as the gold, which we still don't know what the hell that is, even.
And he doesn't tell his general about the gold at all. Because he tells them, if you come with me, to get. He doesn't tell them about saving his friends.
No,
he actually he just says to them, "There's a whole bunch of gold, $10 million worth. He's just taking his other friends a statement that it is $10 million worth, and saying that that's truth." And he's like, "Oh, we can all split it."
Yeah, so he's basically using these guys as. Him, you know, he to him they're expendable.
Yeah.
You know, they're like the red shirts in Star Trek. It's like, okay, I'm gonna take you guys with me on this mission. You can help me fight, you know, the bad guys and get my two brothers back. But
instead of telling them the truth,
he didn't tell them the truth at all.
The payment to help me get these two guys back is the gold. I'll bring you to the gold.
Which we still don't know what that is. If it means gold bricks or gold meaning, you know, cocaine or whatever it is.
He brought one back, one of those vials, the spice melange, and he threw them over to one of the bikers, and they all looked at it. Now, every time they move it, it shakes out like a salt shaker.
Like a salt shaker.
And one guy starts licking it.
What's happening, green boy?
Wow.
What is this? Who the fuck are you?
Well, that hardly matters. You can call me Calhoun if you like.
Calhoun! So what's this all about, Calhouni?
I can get you out of here.
Oh, yeah, in exchange for what?
For your time.
Doing what?
Getting rich.
Yeah, right. Oh,
just
fuck me, man.
A job.
What the hell's that?
See for yourself. No, it's real, all right. There's a hell of a lot more where that came from. About $10 million worth. I need some guys that can ride bikes. We go in. We get the gold. And we come out with as much as we can carry. That's the deal.
So I was like, what is happening? We don't know.
Like, it could have been anything in that vial.
Now, we're introduced to our biker gang because they sign on. Which, under the idea that there's four bikers, Calhoun, and he's going to get another guy. So there's going to be six to split $10 million.
Yes.
So now we have four bikers. So the four bikers are... Rick Dean is the actor. He plays a character named Larger. Or a.k.a. the knife guy.
Oh. Okay.
Or a.k.a. shit. He says that a lot.
Shit.
He is in the movies The Skateboard Kid, Tales from the Hood, and Carnosaur 2.
Wow.
We have Mark Venturini. I'm probably saying that really badly.
Venturini.
He plays Bonelli.
Bonelli.
He is the leader, question mark. He is Suicide in The Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, I knew I recognized him.
He's also one of the funniest moments ever in a horror movie. That would be Jason 5. Where the guy offers him a Snickers bar and he kills him with an axe for no reason in the opening.
Here, Vic, want a bite? Here, I'll just put it over here. And later on, when you're hungry, you can have it. Well, if that's the way you feel, forget it, Vic. Just forget it. But I think you're really out of line.
Oh, my God.
That's him, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There is also... Jeff Griffin, or a.k.a. the short hair guy, is Carmody. I don't know him. And he's not in anything we really know. And there's also Rome Diaz as Turco. So that is our four main biker gang guys. And okay. They also have another guy. this actor, his name is Kevin Duffus. I want to say doofus when I read that.
I know you want to say
it. It looks like it. Kevin Duffus as Hickman. He is the AKA the mechanic. Now, I love that his name is Hickman because he calls Calhoun a cracker. And Calhoun says,
"Well, you got yourself a mechanic. Don't get my ass killed, though. My mom would be real pissed off. She wouldn't understand me dying for some crack of peckerwood."
Well, there is one thing.
What's that, Rick?
Don't ever call me a cracker again. Crackers are from Georgia, son. I'm from West Texas. Now, you can call me a redneck peckerwood anytime.
So I'm going to call Calhoun either cowboy or not a cracker throughout this thing.
Oh, God. Not a cracker. Oh.
I like Hickman is calling the... I just think that that's funny.
Okay, you redneck peckerwood.
You know, so that's our core group. That is our entire cast. Now, the mechanic is going to get them motorcycles to help them on their mission.
The loudest possible mode of transportation.
Yes.
To go through the Vietnam jungle.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's great about this movie is there's always a road for the motorcycles.
Always a road.
The fact that and the Hell's Angels characters are mad that the motorcycles aren't their Harleys or whatever that somehow came to Vietnam with them.
How in the world did Hell's Angels make it all the way down here?
Well, it seems they bet some other gang that can ride their hogs straight to hell and live to tell about it.
It's one way to make money, I guess.
You need to have it. You're smuggling horse back into the world.
That could be dangerous.
Trouble is, the MPs found out about that gig and warned the locals not to deal with it. And then they confiscated their Harleys.
I wonder why they look rather pissed.
That's the MPs they're really after. Anything in uniform is fair game.
I don't understand what the hell's going on.
So where are their motorcycles then?
Who knows?
They're choppers.
I think they were impounded because the MPs arrested them.
They got arrested.
And I guess they couldn't get them out of jail. I don't know. But he says, I made better bikes, the mechanic Hickman says. These are better bikes. Now, can we talk about Hickman's voice changing a lot in this movie? Because this movie is like very ADR'd. Like, everything is recorded later.
Yeah.
But Hickman at certain points talks like this. Oh, these are better motorcycles than yours.
Yeah, he kind of does. He goes from, like, science nerd and back to cool dude in, like, a matter of seconds.
I love that he also shoots his machine gun sideways.
Okay, you redneck pack of wood!
He does.
He does it a lot, and I couldn't stop watching it. Yeah, their plan is to get on large choppers. It's a chopper, baby. Large choppers and drive, put them on in helicopters.
I never thought I'd end up fighting this war. I never thought I'd end up fighting it.
And get them. Now, instead of using the helicopters just to get there, they get the motorcycles on the helicopters with the gangs, get flown in, dropped off, and they have to drive. Because on the way there, the helicopter gets shot.
Yes. Now, here's the thing that I was thinking of during this scene. So, no, they couldn't just ride their motorcycles into the area where they needed to be. Because they would be killed in 2 seconds. There's... no
the whole movie.
Way that they would have made it in there. I mean, they're lucky they survived in a chopper. But the whole point of this, they don't even know why they're there. They're there for whatever, in air quotes, gold that they were promised. But this turns out to be a rescue mission for these two guys that they've never laid eyes on. So they don't even know what their real incentive is.
Well, no, they just think they're getting $10 million to split.
Okay.
They don't even know about the other guys, the capture.
No, they
people.
Don't know they don't about know them at all. But it and sounds ridiculous that they would believe that this army lieutenant has this kind of thing. Like, really?
Yeah, and why would they?
Right.
Like, it's baffling. It doesn't make any sense. But they go along with it pretty fast. But, of course, as the movie progresses, which is just scene after scene of firefights.
Yeah.
bad firefights.
Oh my God. Can we talk about Calhoun? Now we've talked about, I've counted four times. This guy shot one time and killed two guys with one
shotgun.
Bullet.
A sawed off shotgun kills. There's a part
from where across the field.
There's one part where he shoots across a field and four people fall down.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, wow, that is one magic bullet.
I couldn't stop thinking about that joke in Top Secret where he throws a grenade in and people, instead of blowing the place up, they all just all flying.
Yeah.
The people just all go flying up into the air.
I love that fucking movie.
It's amazing, yeah. But yeah, these people just, they're shooting at people and it's nonsense. We get like a little bit about each character. There is that guy, like we said, throwing knives at people. He throws knives. He perfectly can throw a knife at anybody, anywhere, and do anything. Like Bullseye from the comic books. And he says, and here we're like, what is happening? Because he would hit them perfectly, but then say, shit.
Shit.
It was like, really weird. I was like,
he
wait.
He was mad that he did it.
Did he, was he, at first I thought he was like, because he hit them right in the chest with that
always
knife throwing, right? Perfectly. So I was like, oh, that's pretty rad. And then he said, shit, like he messed up.
He
and
does it thinking, multiple times.
Maybe he was upset that it didn't land the where he wanted it to. Or
that's what I was going
to
think. Like, does he want to miss?
I don't understand.
Was he aiming for something else?
Yeah, I don't understand. It was weird. But like, I had a these four bikers, I had a hard time believing, like, okay, I'll just tell you this. They were tough. They were tough guys. They liked to fight. They didn't take any shit.
No.
They were tough. However, smart is another thing. I don't understand why you would want to put your life in danger for something that might not even exist. This guy could have been lying to you.
Yeah, it's...
It makes no sense.
The only reason they go along with him is because in true fashion for any of these type of movies where like a bunch of people have to learn to work together, they have a fist fight. The leader and Calhoun have a fist fight. In the rain, of course, we were laughing because his tattoos look like they were washing off.
Who's that, Bonarelli? The leader.
Is that the leader's name?
I think his name is Bonarelli.
It's Bonarelli.
Spongili. Like,
you're right, though. It is.
It's Bonarelli.
Bonelli.
Oh, Bonelli.
I like Bonelli, yeah. It's a Bonarelli.
I like Bonarelli.
Well, they get in a fist fight to show who's boss. And of course, Calhoun wins. And so that they all respect him. Okay, now, you know what? You're a part of the group. You kicked my ass.
So they
go along with him.
Okay.
So they, you know, as the movie progresses and they have more and more firefights, of course, the one character, Churko, he dies. He, like a grenade goes off, and it's one of the rare times that a grenade actually does something that it would actually do in real life. It blew his arm off.
Yeah, we were more than halfway through this movie, and I was like, wait a minute, we still have all four of the bikers here.
Yeah.
This is going to be bad, because either they're all going to go out at once, or we're going to start losing them. And I was thinking to myself, I really hope that we don't lose Bonarelli, because he was the only one that really had any presence, you know? Like, I mean, the knife-throwing guy, okay, yeah, whatever, but I just felt like, okay, this guy's the leader, he should make it out alive. So
yeah, so it was one of the ones. I knew this is the one that was going to go first because he's like sticks out like a sore thumb.
And he had the least lines.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, if all the ones are going to go, he blows up, he dies. There's more of a fight, and the same gun battles keep happening throughout this movie. And we couldn't stop laughing because every explosion, every gunshot works just miraculously. Like they all get in a truck, the bad guys, and the one guy throws a grenade, but instead of like the truck blowing up, there's an explosion in front of the truck, so we can't see the truck, and yeah. That made us die laughing.
I mean,
it's just like a fireball in front of the truck, so they like we can't blow up the truck though.
Yes, but you know, I will say this, okay, the explosives team that was involved in this movie, they they did all right. Oh. I mean, they did, because there was a lot of, this movie was very action-y. It was, just picture, you know, like Rambo, you know, all those action movies from the 80s, you know, on a lower budget, of course, but they had a lot of controlled explosions and a lot of, like, you know, poofs of smoke when the guns were being fired.
Oh.
That looked great.
Oh, there was a couple times I was like, that guy's hurt.
Yeah.
It's another one of those movies where we're like, oh, this is so low budget, you know, people are getting really hurt.
I feel like they were.
Yeah. And I would say that Spielberg questioning the $400,000 makes me laugh, because I believe it. Because it's one of those movies where, you know, the director was just like, hey, I have a bunch of pyrotechnic, like, just, they're nuts. Do you guys want to come on the set and just blow things up? I'll give you some craft service. You know, they're like, hell yeah.
Yeah, what, as long as I get a taco.
Yeah, what do I get to blow up? Motorcycles, random side streets, a bridge? Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I thought that they did pretty good. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah, it's one of those, you see these movies and you go, these people weren't getting paid. They just were, like, excited to blow shit up.
Yeah, but I can't imagine. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of this budget had to go to that explosion, you know, all those controlled explosions, because there was a lot of them, a lot.
I just don't believe it. I believe that you can go up to a person and be like, you know, I know that you're like really into fire. I can give you a job, and, you know, $10 an hour if you blow some stuff up.
You put an ad in the paper.
Yeah, and just like, not even an ad. You go down the street. You just go down the street. A bunch of kids in high school. On the side of the street. You guys want to blow some shit up
for $10? Hey, Bobby, you want to blow some stuff up? Fuck, you got some dynamite in your garage? I like how you say
controlled explosives.
It's they like, were.
I mean,
they were controlled explosives.
I guess.
I mean, they made, so like in front of each person that was getting fired upon, they would get hit and go down. And you could see on the ground where the poofs were happening.
Yeah.
But it was controlled. I mean, they knew where to stand.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like they were just, you know, blowing poofs of smoke on these people. They would, you know, probably gouge their eyeballs out and burn up their faces.
Well, in particular, one person in this movie is I guess we get to see some people, some natives being tortured by the army there. Not the U.S. Army, but the other army. And they set one of them on fire. And I had to say, that looked super dangerous. And I kept saying, that was crazy. Their hands were exposed.
Well, they were tied to what appeared to be a tanker of some sort.
Yeah, I didn't know what was happening there. It could have been a dummy, but the hands look real. So
the hands were moving, as the person was screaming on fire. So the hands were moving, but that, not even just that, okay? That could have been a stunt person, fine. But there were people around him.
Yeah.
Like, very close to him.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Like, I can't imagine the heat from that flame. Like, I'm sure someone got hurt.
I'm like, oh, the hands are hurting. It gotta be burning. Yeah. And I love the ADR on him.
Yeah, he was screaming well until, like, all his skin was gone.
Arnold. Yeah. Arnold. That's what Arnold sounds like when he's on fire.
Really? I don't know what's wrong with you.
So, yeah, but, you know, in the movie, and when I say that the movie just keeps doing this, we have to point out just some random moments of what gunshots are like in this movie. That, like, we were saying that the one guy fires one bullet and multiple people die, but there was, like, some times where people jumped, just random jumps. Like, they're, like, shooting into a palm tree or not, a, you know, like, a, just a shrubbery or whatever. And then, like, people die, like, they're getting shot, so they fall backwards. But then one guy just comes diving out of the bush. I'm like, what happened to him?
See, what had happened to him was...
Did he get shot in the legs that, and he flew over?
Yeah, I think that maybe someone pushed him from behind and it was the wrong way. It was the wrong direction.
They, like, chopped down a tree.
Yeah.
And it also... there's a fist fight part with, I think, with knives, and one guy just comes and it's supposed to be that he's running to the guy and he flips him over his back, but he just dives at him. And then, so he dives over him, but it's supposed to look like he's flipping him.
Yes. Well, see, what happened was he jumped on the trampoline a half a second too early to do the jump and missed the cue. So he went over the guy instead of on top of the guy.
Oh, man.
So that's what happened.
It is so terrible.
But I mean, this movie, it's action-packed. I will say that. Like, it kept me involved.
It doesn't stop, but the action is very amateur.
It's cheesy, yes. Yeah. And when I say controlled explosions,
you're being generous.
Yes, I am. It's amateurish, but it's also, like, it's entertaining, you know?
Yeah.
And so we go through all of this. Now,
well, before I go on, I just want to bring up another thing to you, since we're talking about the movie itself and, like, where the $400,000 didn't go to. The music?
Oh my god.
Because the movie actually starts what we didn't talk about.
And cue music here.
Life's always been an adventure. I never cared much.
Yeah. Let's just do our impersonation of it, though, first, because it's like, war is bad, and I don't like war. Don't shoot at the people in war.
Nailed it.
Let me tell you, it's straight trash. Like, it is...
Okay,
it sounds very amateur.
Can I tell you what I think was going on with this music?
Sure.
I think that they asked the slightly musically inclined craft service person to provide the lyrics to the song. And I think that he just made it up on the spot.
Yeah,
and they threw him an extra $20.
They recorded him in the bathroom while he was going to the bathroom just singing to himself, and they were like, put it in the movie. That works.
Yeah, I
put
don't.
Some terrible music to it.
This person singing this song cannot sing a note.
Yeah,
it's awful.
It's and the words are is it's the most like, oh my god, are you serious? The message like war is bad type of music, but it is just like so cheesy. Like the it's just.
Like, I don't know what they were going for with this song. Like, it's literally just a bunch of words put together with no rhyme or reason. Like, yeah. They're not... The song doesn't have, like, a story or an explanation. It's just random words being spoken.
Yes. I never thought about world peace or prosperity. There's nothing gonna change. And the movie starts like that. So you're already in for trouble. But then when you have the helicopters flying and they're going to jump out of the helicopters with motorcycles or whatever is going to happen, they're also playing a terrible song. I never thought I'd end up fighting this war. I never thought I'd end up fighting it. Once upon a time I heard them at my door. I never thought I'd someday hope for me. Flying across these alien skies, I'd rather be the bad one cause the good guy dies. I'm feeling all alone, I don't know when. I've felt this way before, my friend. And it's so crazy because we're so used to seeing like Predator, where they're playing Little Richard, and it's like badass.
They didn't have the budget for that.
No, but I'm saying not even a moment of rock and roll, like a weird...
Like they could have faked
melancholy,
it, you know?
Like, type of song. Like, it's so odd.
Like, usually in more movies, they'll play, like, Fortunate Son or something.
Oh, yeah,
they could have, like, done some kind of, like, off-kilter knockoff of that song.
Yeah, anything.
You know?
Just get a guitar
something.
Riff.
Yeah. There is... No. You have to play this song in the podcast because I literally... It's baffling.
Yeah.
It's baffling.
And I don't think it's one I'll get copyrighted strike from.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be fine. No one's talking about that bomb.
So, moment after moment is these firefights, which is what you were going to bring up, right? You were going to talk about what happens next, which is virtually that one guy dies. And so they have a funeral for him. And
I mentioned to you that the burial was, the ground was literally in the shape of a casket.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Now, I ask you, if they're constantly being swarmed by bad guys with, yes, like bow and arrows or guns or whatever,
they have
who
time.
Took the time to freaking bury this guy in exact coffin-shaped ground? Like, they sculpted the dirt to look like a coffin.
Yes.
It was ridiculous. And then the best part about this funeral, in air quotes, is that they literally had nothing to say about this man.
Yeah, they were, but basically, like, the leader was just like,
well, thank God you died so we can get your share of the gold. Like, that's what he said.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, camaraderie.
I know, and I can see this is where they may be really pissed off.
Yeah, that was terrible.
It's terrible.
Like, oh my God.
I can't believe they didn't, like, write it around them and their ideology.
Right.
You know, it's kind of bizarre. By the way, they have no shovels. So I kept thinking about that the whole time.
Tree branch to sculpt the ground.
Perfectly. I just would love to see that he wasn't really in there. That they had just pushed some dirt around and made
God,
a square.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
And then you see the bodies laying in the back there. So yeah, they do that, and it's like, yeah, all right, moving on. And the movie does. It just keeps moving on.
It's just like firefight after firefight after firefight until we actually...
They come upon those soldiers, like I said, the one getting the locals being tortured, and they save them. Not when the one person is being set on fire, but when another one of them is about to be set on fire. That's when they step in. And now our main character, he's like become a cowboy. So he uses a rope. He does a cattle roping of people. And he does it multiple. They keep setting it up so you know that this is going to come into the last fight.
He's like a cowboy / army Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
He has like the hat that
he
Indy
now
has
a hat.
But it's got camouflage on it so you know that he's in the army.
Yeah.
It's funny. But I'm not going to lie to you. He's not a bad like character. He's okay. He's a, you know, good action star. He can flip around and beat someone's ass, and he's a good action star. He is. He's not bad for this low budget movie.
I don't know. I think you're giving him a lot of credit. I mean, he's fine. It's not anything special.
We've seen some shit.
This really needed to be Reb Brown. If this was
Reb
Brown.
You were going to bring Reb Brown into this.
If this was Reb Brown, this movie would have been amazing.
Reb Brown is a bad movie. All-star.
He's amazing. Now, he does that yell out of his mouth.
Yes,
oh, it's
but
great.
He's done enough shit. We needed someone fresh-faced and new for this particular brand of awesome.
Well, you know what I was going to bring up was, as a goof that I saw online, someone wrote down that everybody's wearing army camouflage on their outfits, which wasn't invented until the 80s.
Oh my God.
They didn't have that during Vietnam.
Oh my God. So, well, they also didn't have, you know, button down shirts from J. Crew back then
or
either.
Hell's Angels in Vietnam.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh,
so,
geez.
Yeah, it's so weird. So, so they save these people. There's a moment between some of the bikers, the biker gang, that they kind of feeling emotions. I think some of them are like, I like helping people. It's kind of like a subplot there that's brewing and seeing how they all help. They're helping people. But one of the locals basically lets the cat out of the bag and mentions that the main guy is really there to save his two guys, which we don't even know if they're really alive. He's just assuming that they're alive.
Right. They could have killed them.
Why wouldn't they? I don't know why they would take prisoners of war. It doesn't make
stupid,
sense. They're not a part of the war.
Right. They are soldiers, but however, the guy that kidnapped them and took them is not part of the war. He has his own agenda. And it's weird.
We'll get to that because it doesn't make any sense.
He's not like trying to garner any negotiations to get them released or asking for anything in return. Nothing. He just has them.
Yeah. This movie is the action version of the bizarre plot line of Striptease.
Oh my God.
Where, you know, the secretary of the FBI was let go because her husband her husband was an informant or a drug addict, and she has to get her kid back with the only way she can through stripping. This movie is that kind of logic.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
I could see that.
We want the Hells Angels in Vietnam. Why are they there? I don't know. What should they be getting? Gold? What are they going to do with the gold once they get it? I don't know.
How are they going to get that out of the country anyway?
That's exactly. How do they get their motorcycles in? Yes. I don't even know what's happening.
I don't.
And then the villain is the same thing. They're like, who's the villain? German? I don't know. Why is he there? I don't know.
He's a devil's guard.
What's this devil's guard?
It's a battalion of the French Foreign Legion.
Ex-Nazis, SS agents, bad, bad people. They used to fight the Vietnamese back in the 50s.
Should we care?
No.
Just
watch. I mean, they do try to tell us that
the natives saved
his life and spared him.
They found me when the VC had left me for dead and nursed me back to health.
You're a goddamn lunatic. You killed 24 NVA down at that cave. People who were loyal to you, doesn't that mean anything?
They were nothing. They found something they should not have. Precious metal is a sign of leadership to these people. Unless, of course, you are a deity, like I am.
Why would they nurse their god back to health?
And why would he be a god?
I don't know. He doesn't even speak their language. He just keeps going, over there. Get, That's it. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. They run over. Over here. Over there. It's like, what? And he also references that he's a German. And he actually says that he is the Führer.
What?
He says that.
I don't recall him saying that.
To these people, I am a living god. The Führer.
Oh my God. Okay.
And he also, one of the bikers is wearing a necklace that has that one of the symbols that I believe the Germans used. What ends up happening is the one guy lets the cat out of the bag, another one of these guys, because throughout the movie, another running joke is that they're all like, the whole movie's about don't leave people behind, you know, and we're coming to save my two guys, but they keep meeting locals who help them out, who they constantly leave to die. That happens at least 3 or 4 times in this movie. And so again, this local says to them, you're here really to save your friends, right? And then the biker's like, what do you mean? What prisoners of war? What are we talking about? We're here for the gold only. And so they get mad at our main character and they split up. They're like, we're going for the gold.
Yeah, like, you lied to us. Didn't tell us the truth about this whole mission.
And one of the locals helps them, gets on the motorcycle and shows them where the gold is. Where now they should know, the locals, not to go near that area because they have the native, like, tribe that are like their own thing, and they kill everybody who comes near them.
Yeah, why would you risk your life?
Bring them to them.
Like, you already almost died when they came and, like, you know, destroyed your village.
Yeah.
So why would you risk your life for these guys?
I don't get it. Well, I know they just helped save a bunch of them. So I guess they feel some kind of, some kind of thing. I don't know.
Still, but why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense.
But naturally, when they get to the cave, the three bikers and this tour guide, instead of killing everybody in the move right here, the bikers all died. Nope, they only killed the tour guide. The guy's just dead.
Which we knew. Yeah. Like, they're just setting him up to be, you know, the fall guy.
Yeah. And I love this too, by the way. The natives of this cave area, the ones working for the German dude or the American or whoever the hell he is.
Definitely not
Chard.
American.
Chard.
Chard is not American.
They say he's a soldier in the scene.
He was a prisoner of war. He has a German accent.
I don't... I look, I can only tell you what the movie's telling us.
This movie is unbelievable. He has a German accent. He is clearly not American.
I don't know. He's also wearing a safari outfit. And by the way, can we talk about his arm patch?
Okay. So this arm patch is skull and crossbones that literally looks like an embroidery that, you know, my 3-year-old niece did in preschool.
Like if you told kids, make skull and crossbones out of felt.
It's a cartoony felt patch.
Yeah.
It looks so silly.
Yeah, I cannot believe they wore that with a straight face. Like nothing, it wasn't even necessary.
Nothing screams diabolical killer.
Yeah.
Like this cross-eyed skeleton crappy dollar store patch.
Well, they kidnap the three bikers and they bring them to the prisoner camp that they have where the two guys are in a like a makeshift bambooed like kind of cage that you can clearly see they can just lift the lock.
So there's there's like a freaking I motion to him like there's a wooden bar on the outside of this thing. They can reach their hands through and lift it up and get out of there.
Later on we find out that there's a chain, and that a chain apparently was the lock.
I don't know. On the other side of the door.
That's what I'm saying.
They could have easily gotten out of there.
It was bizarre. But of course, instead of throwing the three bikers into that cage, they tie them by their hands to posts outside. And again, don't kill them.
Why would you not kill them? I mean, what's the reasoning to keep them alive?
The whole movie is 'cause movie.
This is literally to prolong the movie so that it fills the time slot. Yeah. Like they need the time to be filled, the 1 hour and 30 minutes. They need it to be filled. So that's why they're prolonging this whole thing.
Yeah. It's mind blowing. But naturally, our main character and Hickman are both going to save these guys anyways. So it all kind of works out that they're also going to accidentally save these bikers. But it is hands down some of the worst planning I have seen in a movie. And they also bring another tour guide with them. And the tour guide, they give one handgun, and he is wearing a button-down white polo, right? Like a button-down shirt.
It looks like a bowler shirt.
Yeah, and he's got like pants on in Vietnam during a war. And they go, their plan is to set bombs around the camp at night. And then the one guy's going to sneak in and tell all, instead of freeing his friends and the bikers, he just whispers to them, hey, in the morning, shit's going to go down. When you get free, grab the guns. Now, he just walks off. Now, we're like, why couldn't he just free them now and they could escape?
Couldn't you just cut them down off the post now? And then in the morning, you can go and throw some freaking grenades on the bad guys and end it.
Or secretly during the night, the three of these people could sneak up behind people and kill them one by one, you know, and just take the whole thing out during the night. Free their guys, slowly take everybody out, and have your firefight during the night.
But Scott, they have to prolong the movie another 30 minutes.
Okay.
So
I guess
you can't do that.
I guess so. But his plan is to put grenades around the damn base. I don't know. And in the morning, when the sun comes up, he walks into camp unarmed, and he goes to have a conversation with Chard. Chard and Cowboy, they have a conversation, and it is pointless beyond belief.
It's so stupid. Like, I looked at you, and I was like, wait a minute. Are we really wasting time with this stupid dialogue? We don't want dialogue. We need, like, a firefight so you can get these guys out of the cage, get the bikers down, and you know, kill the bad guys and ride off into the freaking sunset. We don't need this dialogue. The worst part about this scene is that he walks in just, you know, unarmed. The guy, Chard, is like, my people aren't going to kill you because you're unarmed.
He's like, how clever of you.
Yeah, we have a code. We're not going to do that. Okay. So instead of killing Chard right there because he has Hickman hiding up in, you know, the freaking, you know, mound of dirt, why can't Hickman just take him out right there?
Yeah.
Like, why are you having a conversation? Like, yeah. It's so stupid.
It's like, this is the point where, like, we got to show that characters are badasses, like, or something like that.
But they weren't.
And they don't. And he's like, I want to make a deal to free my guys. And then the guy doesn't even have, what's the deal? They don't even ask it. He goes, why do you think I want to deal with you? And he's like, well, if you don't, I'll kill you. And then I was like, why don't the bad guy just kill you right now?
Right. It makes no sense. He literally did not have the upper hand. Calhoun did not have the upper hand in the situation.
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm like, okay. When he walked into that camp, I was like, all right, this guy is going to do something really badass. Like, he's got people waiting in the rafters up there. Well, I'm like, people? He only had one guy.
Well, don't forget tour guide.
Oh, yeah. Tour guide. Okay. So, but they talk and talk and talk. And he walks out of the fucking camp.
I love that he talks to him. And the guy's like, first the Chard goes, nothing will happen to you here. You're my guest. And the next shot he goes, why are you here? And I was like, what the fuck is going on in this
and
movie?
And then Calhoun's like, I just want my freaking guys back.
Yeah, but he said, he just walks out of camp.
You are my guest. And you are safe. Why are you here bothering me, Calhoun? I'm a busy man.
You deal, don't you? I want to make a deal to get my men out.
And if I won't deal?
Then I'll just have to kill you.
He goes, well, you made a bad decision. He walks out of camp. Now, this is my favorite bit. Chard goes, I think he's up to something.
Oh, I don't know. What gave you that idea? I mean, It was so stupid and, like, unrealistic the way they did this scene. Why didn't you just kill him?
Yeah.
Like, he's right there out in the open.
Well, it's even worse. It gets even worse. It gets even worse because when Cowboy walks out of the damn camp, bombs start going off. But they're not actually doing anything.
They're not doing anything. They're deliberately being placed outside of the camp in order to create a distraction.
I guess.
Okay. So then I guess who cuts down the bikers?
Hickman comes in there and Calhoun comes in there with a shotgun, shoots up one bullet. And by the way, there's a running joke in this thing where in every time they shoot the soldiers in this base, they have the two naked women pass by the shot first.
So this is funny because it's so gratuitous and stupid. They just run into the shot with their boobies jiggling around.
Yes.
For no reason just whatsoever.
Make sure that happens in every shot first.
Because this is a Corman.
Yes, exactly. This is a Corman experience.
Yes.
So they come in there again, Calhoun or Cowboy, whatever we're calling him, Cracker. He walks in there and shoots a shotgun and kills like four people. While Hickman has a gun on everybody and frees every soldier, and they all get guns. So now all of the soldiers that are there surrounding them didn't kill Hickman instantly.
Nope.
They just allow him to free everybody and get guns.
Yeah, so we have the three bikers that are still alive.
The two new soldiers.
The two new soldiers that were in the cage.
Tour guide, Hickman, and Calhoun. All surrounding this person. Now you think Calhoun would just shoot our Chard. He would just shoot, get rid of the Chard. And
nope.
He would flush a Chard. But no, they just leave. Now, if I was one of the prisoners, I would have shot this guy instantly.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I would have been like, fuck this place.
Yeah, but I feel like they were totally outnumbered. That's one thing. There were more bad guys than there were the good guys. However, they get on their motorcycles and they freaking dip. Now, the best part is that they end up at a bridge that's broken in half. And I don't know why.
No, that happens later, because what happens is the bikers leave and they go get the gold.
Okay.
And they're like got big boxes of gold and they're going to go escape. And Calhoun, the two army guys. Oh, and by the way, when they all left, the tour guy was left behind with one handgun and got killed instantaneously.
Yeah. So, gee.
Yeah.
That was worth it for him to risk his life for what?
Yeah. And instead of like, you know, getting on the motorcycles themselves or doing anything, Calhoun, Hickman, and then two new soldiers are all left to defend for themselves. And of course, at the same time, the army comes, the bad guys. So now not only do we have Chard's group, we also have the local army.
I kept calling him Guy LaDouche.
Nice. Yeah, Guy LaDouche shows up with all his guys in a truck. And now we have like three fights. So at the same time, the Hell's Angels, they hear this and they go, we can't leave them. The one guy's like, you know what? He's one of us now. We have to go help him. You know, the other guys are like, damn it. And one guy only takes the knife throwing guy takes one thing of gold, sticks in his shirt, and they go to help. So now we got a huge firefight. We have all of the fight going on, and they're heading toward a bridge during this fight. And naturally, you know, some of the biker gang starts dying off, right? And it's like the weird how they start dying off. But I believe the first one to go is the short-haired blonde guy.
He doesn't have much lines.
Yeah, he does, but he's the first to go. And that pisses off the other two guys. And then they have a huge battle. And what's funny is the one army... Because you don't see Chard's people much. You see the shots of them driving around in a truck with a whole bunch of people following them with machetes. That's it. And you don't see them because they're actually just fighting the army now. And so they're having this huge battle. And what's really funny is the army is only in a truck. And then all of a sudden they get on a motorcycle too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where the hell was this? They didn't even know where they only followed them here because they saw them trying to escape.
Yeah, things just appear and disappear in this movie.
Oh, so much. And they get up to a bridge. Now, this is the whole thing. The bridge is broken in half, and they're going to have to jump it. So the guy who took the one piece of gold, the knife-throwing guy, he is able to jump the bridge and tells everybody to do it. But at the same time, they shoot a rocket launcher. It goes past him. It doesn't blow up the bridge. But for some reason, it blows him up, and the actor just face plants into the bridge.
That was a pretty cool faceplant.
It was a crazy faceplant, but I kept saying, what happened to him?
I think he got hurt. You know, it's the aftershock of the bomb hitting, and it shook the ground so much that it threw him up and then back down again.
I guess
so. It was cool. I liked it.
It looks cool, but it just made you question how, what happened to him, you know? And what's funny is he's laying on the floor there where they would have to jump over.
Right. So I don't see that happening. But happen anyway that prevent them from jumping over.
Yeah, of course they get attacked right at that spot. They have to fight. He's down. The blonde-haired biker is dead. And there's only one biker guy who's the gang, the leader of this group. He goes riding off into the sunset after they killed Guy LaDouche, Guy LaDouche and his whole group. He goes rides off because... Chard, right? Chard goes out. He goes after Chard for some reason by driving his motorcycle over the ridge with his machine gun up in the air. And then you just hear some shots and everybody goes, what happened? And at the same time, they're surrounded by the bow and arrow people again. And Chard comes over the hill with the motorcycle and his spear. He's got a spear. He loves a spear. And he has the Hell's Angels jacket on it. So off screen, the guy that we spent all this time with.
Yeah, the knife guy.
Is dead. No, not the knife guy. He's knocked out on the bridge. It's the leader.
Oh.
The leader guy.
Okay.
He is just dead off screen.
Yep.
They don't tell us what happened to him. We never find out. He's just dead off screen. And now this leads Chard...
have a duel with Calhoun, but they have like a little fist fight first, and he knocks Calhoun down and takes the spear and sticks his leg with it.
Yeah, because they fight all the way through the mud, then they fight back up a hill, then they fight back to the bridge, and they get on that bridge, and that's when he gets stabbed.
Yeah, and he's fighting still with the...
kind of crawling. They're both crawling because they're both fucked up.
They're both fucked up, yeah, but so now... So Chard motions to his guy to say, hey, throw me another spear so we can have a spear duel.
That's actually the beginning of the fight.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't he like? Oh, so
they have the whole Spock and Kirk fight with the spears at first. They go,
But then he gets stabbed in the leg with it.
Yeah, but after he loses his spear and they're on the bridge, that's when he spears his leg. He pulls the spear out and kicks Chard. Chard falls down. Chard's messed up, and he crawls to his motorcycle that's laying on the bridge.
And he grabs his lasso. Yeah.
And he lassos Chard up. He gets him charred, and he throws him over the bridge and hangs him. And Chard is dead.
I'm sorry, that was really cool though. I liked the way it looked when he was flopping over like that.
What I had hoped was that he, since he was on his motorcycle, next to his motorcycle, I thought he was going to throw the rope into the motorcycle tire, and he was going to turn it on and let this guy's face get pulled into it.
Well, that would have been really awesome, but that would have taken a lot of work on his, because he would have been killed if you know, he even tried to do that, because it took too much time to do that. He'd have to get all the way up to the handlebars and rev the
motorcycle.
I mean, that's just a little bit too much to ask Scott, okay?
I mean, instead what we got was somehow he throws Chard over the bridge.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it because he's got a messed up leg. But he goes and dangles. It's pretty funny to watch the actor get the choke face.
I thought it looked good. I will say that I was motioning to you because I'm like, okay, where are the two army guys that they rescued? Because if they kill these two guys at this point in the movie after all of this, I will be pissed.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, they die off screen? I don't even know what happened in Hickman too. But what's funny is once the Chard dies, all of his guys are like, hey, we're out. So they leave.
Yeah.
My God, our God is dead, I guess, and they leave. So you think, okay, now they survived. How are they going to get away? And exactly at that time, tanks show up and start shooting at them. And how did they get over the bridge?
They jumped with the motorcycle.
The one that he had on the floor there, they were able to jump it?
No. So remember, they used the... No, they didn't jump it. They used the grapple.
Another lasso somehow and made a grappling thing. And they went and they flew across the bridge.
Yeah, like Batman. And they got up there and they helped the Hell's Angels guy. He was alive.
He's all burnt.
He's all fucked up, but he's got alive.
That gold too.
And he has the gold.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though, is that they tell him, they say the only option is to jump it. But then when he goes, he doesn't have a way to jump it, he goes, I have a lasso I can do this thing with.
Yeah, they could have easily done that first. Because there's a possibility their motorcycles would not have made that. But whatever, movie.
Yeah, and then this is my favorite bit of the movie. They get across the bridge, they're hobbling across, and there's an explosion. We get to watch the bridge blowing up. Which I can't tell if it's a model or they really blew up a bridge. I can't tell.
It was like some, piece of crap.
I couldn't tell what was happening. But then my favorite part happens. Freeze frame and a quote from...
Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. John Milton, Paradise Lost.
A quote just comes on the screen, and it's over.
That's it.
It's a
frozen screen, part. And you're done. Like, that's it. I was like, okay, and wait, doesn't that bad song start playing, or no?
I feel like a song does play, but I don't know. I was just in shock that this was the end of the film. That's how it ended. I was like, God damn, that's how it ends? It's such a weak, short... It's an hour and a half.
Not much happens. I mean, they padded out the movie in certain scenes, and they added scenes that would actually prolong the movie, but they gave us the shortest, dumbest, most ridiculous ending.
Yes.
So, why would you do that? Why don't you make the ending more epic instead of padding out the movie?
Especially since the general said that he was going to drop bombs on there in a certain amount of days, and they only had a certain amount of time to get the guys out of there. So I assumed what was happening in the scene was actually the army dropping bombs. But we see three tanks roll up
Yeah, it was very bizarre.
I didn't understand it.
If anything,
they should have shown the tanks blowing up and the army had dropped bombs. Are they trying to say it out in time?
I think they're trying to say that there's no way that they're going to make it out alive. Because they now have the whole army after them. I don't know.
I know.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's sour. It was such a sour taste in my mouth at the end of this film. I mean, Jesus, really?
Yeah, I mean, to keep padding out the movie and putting all these ridiculous scenes in there for no reason, just to prolong the movie, and then you give us an ending that's just so quick and abrupt.
It's abrupt.
You don't even know that it's like once it happens, you're like, oh, did that just happen? It just ended? I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This movie, okay. As far as the Corman movies go that we chose to do this month, this one was watchable. It was a watchable one.
I guess so, but, yeah. I mean, it's no Cocaine Wars.
I mean, nothing will ever be Cocaine Wars. But I just feel like I feel like this is the most terrible editing in a movie, because you could have totally like added in a better ending instead of those stupid dialogue scenes. Like in a movie like this, we do not need dialogue. We do not need talking.
I think we do.
Not amongst the villains when you know that literally it could take 2 seconds for this guy to get killed right here. You know? Why are we having this dialogue-y scene that we don't need? We don't learn anything about the villain. We don't learn anything about anything.
That's a problem, though. That's a bad writing of a movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Your characters don't have... Like, you want to have a bad villain. Like, a badass villain. You want to have a guy you want to see the good guys beat.
Of course, so but he's not a badass villain. He sucks.
That's what I'm saying. If they would have removed Guy Ledouche and his gang... Like, there was a part where we got to see him walkie-talkie somebody for no reason.
Yeah.
And we don't understand the language or anything. We don't know what's happening there.
They don't even bother to translate.
It's like, just, okay, here's a couple minutes. A minute for no reason.
Don't even put the freaking dialogue in there if it's not going to be told to us.
We don't even need to see that. We just know that they're coming for them. We don't need a moment of him calling in for reinforcements, maybe.
Right.
You spend more time instead setting up Chard. Then Guy Ledouche just cut Guy Ledouche out, made Chard the main villain. He's going around killing people, the locals.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he's got these people doing that for him, and he's trying to take over himself.
Right.
Then maybe that would be smarter.
Like, what makes Chard such a villain? Why? Because he took two soldiers hostage? What else has he done? We need to know why he's... this villain. Why is he a villain?
And what is his plan? What is he doing? Why is he doing what he's doing? Like what is his goal? Because if Vietnam, the war ends, how he suffers either way. So what is his goal?
Right. And there's nothing told to us at all. And the movie just abruptly ends and I'm just like, okay, this is fine. I needed to pee anyway. But it's actually so commonplace now when we do our talk and trash.
Yeah.
That there's going to be something that happens like this, you know, where there's always the what the fuck moment. And this was that what the fuck moment.
Yeah.
It could have totally been better.
The fact that someone's credited as writing the script is mind blowing because it's not like the person thought anything out. You know what? Like I always want to write scripts. I always want to write stuff like this, and I keep thinking to myself, "Am I thinking too much? Like movies like Madame Web are being made. Like, do I need to think? No. And when I see this kind of movie, I'm like, no, not really.
No, because the more you think, the more disappointed you're going to be because you don't get any of the answers you seek at all.
It's not like the Jurassic Park people are thinking. You know what I mean? It's not like these, or the Fast and the Furious. They're not thinking. They're just like, this looks cool.
Yeah.
And like, how disappointing that is when you don't even try to make a script that makes at least sense, because we really don't know why the Hell's Angels are here.
There's no rhyme or reason for it. And
they also die off. So the message of the movie is like, if you're Hell's Angels and you think that like you're starting to have like a heart, is what they're saying in this movie, because he actually says maybe that's what colors are, wearing colors is about, brotherhood.
Yeah, but that's not even the guy that survived. The guy that survived is a different guy.
I know. The guy who didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
He wasn't even interested. He just wants the gold, and he actually makes it out with a piece of gold. So
right.
What is the message? The message is there's no message.
To Vietnam?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And the end quote is like, it's better to serve in hell than it is in... I don't know. It's a... I don't know what the fuck the message of this film is. I don't know why this movie existed. And I cannot believe that he paid money to the Hell's Angels, because I'm thinking to myself, whatever he paid them had to be more than the money of this movie.
I think so, too, in order to make it all go away.
Yeah, so he lost even more.
True. What are you going to give this movie as a score?
Yeah, out of 10, what are you thinking? Because I'm going to go 3.
Okay, I'm going 3 also. We know why, obviously.
Yeah, many reasons we've mentioned.
But, yeah, we mentioned all the reasons. But... where are you going to put this on the list?
Yeah, so we've been ranking movies as we watch them, see what is the worst. Because on this show, we ask the question, "What is this the worst movie ever made?" No, we don't think it's the worst movie ever made. Not great, but has some stuff in here that is definitely worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the worst movie, so what is the worst movie? We already have, we have now put Dinosaur Island at 1. So, of the worst movies.
Oh my god.
I don't remember doing that. But yeah, I'm going to put this one. I'm going to ask you this. Is this worse or better than Blood Fist?
Oh god. It's better.
It's better. I'm going to put it right next to Blood Fist at 10.
Okay.
Right between Leprechaun in Space and Blood Fist.
Oh boy. Okay. All right. Well, and that brings us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read 2 extremes of online reviews. One 10-star review, one 1-star review. It proves that people will ruin the movie rating system no matter what, and they'll screw up everything for the rest of us who can review movies like normal human beings. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Now, this is wild. You don't have a 1, right?
Okay, there are no 1s. For this, that's but there crazy. Is 1-10, which I'm going to read.
I think Tarantino wrote this one.
Well, whoever Drunken Master 2000 is, wrote this. And they say, I can't make up my mind. This is either the best biker film I've ever seen or the best Vietnam War movie I've ever seen.
Oh my god.
It is certainly the most extreme of both genres ever committed to celluloid.
Oh Jesus.
Nam Angels is about a soldier who visits a brothel in Vietnam during the war and recruits members of the Hell's Angels biker gang into his army. Their mission, to steal $10 million of Vietnamese gold and free 2 American POWs. Why is the Hell Angels in Vietnam?
Oh, okay.
I think they're trying to say why in
hell. Why the hell, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Who cares? Vernon Wells, star of the Road Warrior and Commando, plays a Colonel Walter E. Kurtz kind of character who has captured the American POWs. This is a fast-paced and fun war movie that comes highly recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, I couldn't even read that.
The thing that bothers me about that one is that this person said, this is the best of Vietnam
War movie I've ever seen.
That is upsetting.
The title of this is Rambo on a Hog. Rambo on a Hog.
I mean, not even close.
No.
So on Rambo, like, Rambo was in this movie, this thing would have been really badass.
Yeah, I feel like this quote here, this is either the best biker film I've ever seen or the best Vietnam War movie I've ever seen. That right there just goes to show you how people like this fuck up the movie rating system for the rest of us. You can't give this a 10-star review. You just can't. Think about the shit that's going on in this movie. And you're telling me that you've seen movies, I'm talking about very well-received, Oscar-nominated war movies. And you think that this is one of the best things you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, the best?
The best
war movie you've ever seen? I have no words for this person.
That's crazy.
How, I mean, I just want to know, if you're giving this movie a 10, what are you giving a 1? Like, I need to know.
I'm sure, like an A24 movie, this person's like, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. There's a lot of talking in it.
I mean,
I don't like words.
I know, words. Words just, you know, they just cause a ruckus. We don't, I mean, honestly, though, why in the hell is the Hell's Angels in Vietnam? Who cares? No, that's a major question.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It's a major question. We want to know why they're there.
How did they get here?
And he says, who cares?
Yeah.
Or they say, who cares? Like, honestly, I have no words. This is why I cannot read IMDb reviews, because these people that give 10s and 1s are straight up out of their minds. I just, you're not thinking this through.
No, it pisses
me off.
Not at all.
Think about it before you write this trash. It's just, and I can't stand it when people review a movie just to boost up the rating on it.
Yes, that's just not right.
Yeah. Don't do that. You know, you should be honest in your reviews. So whatever. I'm done with this one. Had enough.
That's all your thoughts? That's all you got?
Yeah, that's all you. And I'm ready to end the whole Corman thing for a bit.
Yeah.
We'll go back. And
this is the end. This was the end of our little silly. You know what we never did? We never played what you said.
Oh, play it now.
I knew I forgot something.
Play it now. I want to know what I thought this movie was going to be about.
I cannot believe I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I don't remember it, so tell me.
All right, you ready?
All right, Nam Angels.
Nam Angels? Okay, so this is a movie about women that live in Vietnam, and they need to provide for their family, so they go out and become vigilantes, and they fight crime.
And none of that connected you to a Vietnam scenario?
Well, they're from Vietnam.
Think they're actually Vietnamese women,
and they need to provide for their families, and so they go out and they fight crime and they become vigilantes and they steal from the bad guys, and that's how they provide for their families, and they kick their asses on top of it all. So that's what Nam Angels is.
Okay. All right,
I could not be more wrong. But
yeah. I can't believe we forgot that setup. That was the whole point. So that was the end of your guessing of the Roger Corbin movies from a couple months back.
I mean, that was fun, but it also made me look like a dingbat. But either way, I am a dingbat. But I got to say, I'm glad that this particular journey has come to an end.
Yeah, come to an end.
Because I mean, I'm ready to move on for more trash, different trash.
Yeah, and so next month we're starting a new month, and we're thinking it's going to be workout month.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So I'm very scared for the first one we had suggested to us. So yeah, please listen to us, you know, please subscribe to our podcast, tell friends. We would really appreciate it. We appreciate you for listening, and I hope... Oh, and you know what? Real fast. Have you seen Nam Angels? Tell us if you have. Tell us if you love it. Tell us if you hate it. I'd love to hear about it. Love to hear any opinions on any movies. We love that kind of stuff. We love chats.
I'm sure only Roger Corman fans have seen this. True Corman fans.
That's true. And by the way, every movie that we've done this month has been free on YouTube. So go check any of these movies out. And then report back. Tell us what you think. We're on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night, and Joe is at the Crafty Misfit. Hit us up over there. Otherwise, have a good one, and good night.
You're gonna regret the day you took on the Hell's Angels, asshole.
I already do.
Okay, you redneck, take a word.